Hades refers to the grave and to the state of death, whereas Gehinnom refers to the lake of fire and the place of the final death, the second death, or the ultimate destruction of the wicked. What he's saying is you're better off going into life without these things. Now, it's remember, this is all conditional. He's not saying, hey, you know what? If your hand, let's use your eye. Let's say your hand causes you to stumble because your hand loves to steal. Your hand is thieving. You know, if your hand is stealing, right? Well, cut it off. That'll stop you from stealing. It's not true. It won't stop you. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, oh, you have a problem with lust, pluck out your eyes. Notice he says your right eye. He would never tell anyone to intentionally blind themselves. What he's saying is not saying. He's not saying that plucking out the eye will actually solve the problem. It's conditional then that if that would solve the problem, it's a better solution than living with the problem. If it would stop you from sinning, cut off your hand. Because it'd be better for that part of your body to perish. And the idea of perishing, and this is an analog, meaning this is absolutely this. It is a an analog, I guess. Why am I? That's a good word, but I want to make sure I put it in language that everyone can understand. And I don't do that on purpose. It is, you know, they are equivalent. They're equal. The idea of cutting off the hand. When you cut off your hand, what happens to the hand? It shrivels up and it dies. It doesn't touch, it doesn't feel, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't sin, that's for sure. And what he's saying is that, well, and the implication is, as I ought to say, that the state of the cut off hand is the same as the state of the cut off soul. That when your soul is cast into hellfire, that it will all perish. So it's better to let part of it perish than have all of it perish. And the real idea is, as Paul would say, is that crucify your members. You know, they use the language of death, so you understand. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Put to death the sinful nature. How does one do that? Because it would be much easier if I could solve all my problems by cutting off my hand and plucking out my eye. That would be actually a very easy way to end sin if it would work. But it doesn't work. Because it is the heart that is truly corrupt, and our heart needs to be changed. And that is the work of God. So rather than taking our hands and feet off, let us rather seek the living God, that He would change our hearts, so that the things in us which cause us to stumble would die off. You know, the things in us which cause us to go astray would die off within ourselves. The first and chiefest enemy is within us. We are our enemies because it is our own sinful desires which make temptation tempting. It is our own sinful nature within us that makes all the things which do not profit man and that causes man to partake of death that makes us do them. So we need to take care of ourselves first. You know, pluck out the beam out of thine own eye. If your hand offends thee, causes you to stumble, cut it off. Cut off the offending member. And he's saying, woe to the person who offends. But then he says, woe to the world because of offenses, the things that offend. It must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come. So let us not be tempting of our fellow man. Let us not bring about the undoing of people, especially of believers. God looks very narrowly on those who cause His servants to stumble. And anyone who would place something in front of His servant that would cause him to sin. And ultimately, yes, the blame is within the servant as far as their own. Every man's going to answer for his own sin. But woe to them who bring about offenses, because they will not be held guiltless. Every man's going to answer for his own work. He that sins will answer for his sins, and he that caused him to stumble will answer for the offense they've given. So it is imperative for us to remove things which cause us to stumble. And we must seek God for this, because You know, I could pluck out both my eyes, but my eyes have seen too much. If my heart is not changed, I have visions of sin. You know, I could cut off my hands, but it would not be enough because my heart has already gone off the sinful things my hands do grasp at. And I could cut off my feet, but what would it do for me except that my heart had already gone after sin? And so we need not our, we need all our members to be put to death in the sense of that the affections and lusts of the heart should be put to death and plucked out of us that we might enter into life. Whatever part of us is sinful needs to go. That's the message he's saying. And that answers to all the doctrine of the apostles of the New Testament. I tell you, from John to Paul to Peter, they were all very clear on this issue that sin has to go. But thankfully, the burden of this is taken up by Christ. That it becomes not a difficult thing. Though we may feel that it's difficult, meaning because it's not, we're not able to just easily cast it off at all times. But rather, in seeking the living God, the power is there to relieve us from it. Ultimately making it that we find resistance to sin to be something that's much easier. Because the eye which did offend is gone, and the hand which did offend is gone, and the heart which did lust after evil things has been changed. A change of heart, that is the really at the core of the gospel, is repent. But like I said, that is by the grace of God. Because the hearts of the men of Jesus' generation, they were all gone after different things, and it was only by God's grace that those who heard him and believed could even do that. We have to have our hearts prepared, and this is the work of God. Verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. That ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountain, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. When a man comes to Christ in humility, in believing,